Fanboys and Friends presents a Fandom Awakens Radio spin-off podcast.
I'm not coming back.
You are making a mistake.
10 years ago.
Maybe.
A journey began.
But I have to sort this out on my own.
A war unfinished.
Without the Council. And without you.
Until now. Back to the clones. A few good feels.
Where exactly are you from?
I used to live in the upper levels of Coruscant. You're probably better off down here. With the Jedi running around, starting wars.
I've watched so many of my brothers fall during this war. Fives, Echo, Heavy.
Master Yoda, your thoughts on how to win the war?
No longer certain that one ever does win a war. I am.
You'll never see any Jedi around here. It's not safe down here. Things could have gotten messy for you. That's why I've got my ship.
What squad are you taking in?
Experimental Unit Clone Force 99.
The cavalry has arrived! Company! Attention!
Glad to have you back, Commander.
A limited series podcast covering the Clone Wars revival, exclusive to Disney Plus.
The good is new. Maybe a little better.
Now, join your hosts, David Senda, Kyle Wagner, and Matt Clifton, and an entire legion of clones. Back to the Clones. A Few Good Feels starts right now.
I was hoping for Kenobi. Why are you here?
And welcome to this episode of Back to the Clones, A Few Good Feels, a limited series, you know, Fandom Awakens Radio spin-off podcast, where we are covering, what else? Clone Wars. We are going in chronological order. I know, a huge Pepsi challenge. I am your host, David Senden, and with me, your friend and mine, the best guy in podcasting. If you haven't listened to his Fandom Podcast Network, you really should, because, well, his water wings have, you know, kind of taken on their own life. He's doing Gamebusters and still comes here because, well, we're all podcasters and we all sit together. So, your friend of mine, Kyle Wagner. Kyle, how's it going, pal?
Doing well. Here to talk a little Clone Wars and get a few thoughts out there.
Oh, absolutely. So, Kyle, please tell us, what episodes are we going to be covering on tonight's episode?
We've got Lightsaber Lost, The Mandalorian Plot, Voyage of Temptation, Duchess of Mandalore, Death Trap, R2 Come Home, and Lethal Track Down.
All right, well, let's get into this. And, you know, I was about to say, when we get to Corruption, I'm like, don't worry. I think there's not much to say about that one. But yeah. That's another episode for another time. So, you will know it is time, ladies and gentlemen, to go to the next episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this. We'll be right back.
creates opportunities for the criminal underworld. Ruthless mercenaries conspire with the Separatists to disrupt and exploit the unstable situation within the Republic. Now, Anakin Skywalker and Ahsoka Tano descend into the treacherous gangster havens in an effort to find a corrupt and vile arms dealer who is buying weapons on the black market and selling them to the Republic's enemies.
So, Kyle, let's start off with this episode with tonight's discussion of what?
We have the Clone Wars Season 2, Episode 11, Lightsaber Lost. Easy isn't always simple. During an assignment in the Coruscant underworld, a wily pickpocket steals Ahsoka's lightsaber. Ahsoka enlists the help of an ancient Jedi, Tara Sinbu, to track down her weapon and reclaim her honor. This is basically an all Ahsoka all the time episode.
It pretty much is. With, by the way, Tara Sidube, a friend of Master Yoda's, by the way, who kind of reminds me of something out of the Dark Crystal.
And not a little bit, yeah.
Not the Netflix series, I'm talking the 82 movie for the kids old enough to remember.
Yeah, no, I will agree with that, but I mean, this was a fun little on its own episode. As really, it's kind of more of a lesson learning episode for Ahsoka being teamed up with this older Jedi who basically is trying to teach her patience as Ahsoka is being young and impetuous, just trying to recover her stolen property that if she would have taken better care of in the first place.
Yeah, it was. Not much to say about this episode, except we also get to see or hear the wonderful vocal stylings, and we hear her in more episodes as Aura Sane, because we only saw Aura's back in a movie once. But we get to hear Jamie King, Kyle Newman's wife.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, this was a fun episode, a great episode, kind of teaching Ahsoka episode, give Ahsoka a chance to the character develop a little bit. But, you know, I think it was kind of one of those breaks because they knew what was coming was going to be very heavy and very impactful.
Yeah. Yeah. Episodes like this, there wasn't much to say about it, but it really did feel like a refresher, a calming of the waters, as it were, before you got to the real meat.
Well, and speaking of the meat, I don't think we should dwell too much longer on this episode because, especially now, this might be one of the most historic episodes in Clone Wars history coming up.
All right, so gang, you know what that means. Kyle and I will be right back momentarily, and you will know it is time to go to the next episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this.
Diplomacy or deception? The Council of Neutral Systems speaks for over 1,500 worlds who want to stay out of the war. But rumors have reached the Republic Senate, suggesting that the Council's new leader, Duchess Satine of Mandalore, is secretly building her own army to fight for the Separatist cause. Now, Jedi Master Obi-Wan Kenobi has been sent to Mandalore to discover the truth behind these claims. Royal welcome. Sent to investigate allegations that Mandalore was joining Count Dooku's Separatist, Obi-Wan Kenobi was reunited with an old friend, the Duchess Satine of Kalbala. While Satine claimed Mandalore's intentions were to remain neutral during the war, an attack on the capital city led Obi-Wan to the discovery of a terrorist organization known as Death Watch. Now the Duchess travels to the Senate so she can plead her case against her involvement in the war as the Jedi prepare a defense against her opponents. A diplomatic mission. As dissent threatens to tear apart the peaceful Mandalore system, Duchess Satine struggles to protect her people against the escalating violence. Betrayed by two of her trusted allies, Satine now travels to Coruscant. There she hopes to convince the Senate that a destructive splinter group, Death Watch, does not represent the entire Mandalorian government.
All right, well, Kyle, please, by all means, take us through the next episode.
Well, the next episode is season 2, episode 12, The Mandalorian, Mandalore Plot. However, David, we will get to this in a moment. This episode now has a even more major historical part of Star Wars history after recent live action developments, which we will get to. But let's dive into this first. If you ignore the past, you jeopardize your future. Alarming rumors about the peace-abiding Duchess Satine of Mandalore prompt Obi-Wan to investigate the secluded planet. Satine wants to keep Mandalore neutral in the Clone Wars, but the actions of a violent splinter group, Death Watch, threaten to push the planet towards war. Mm-hmm. This is a major historical episode in Star Wars canon now. It was before, but even more so now.
Oh, I would say that it is. I think we're going to save our spinoff for that discussion when we get to season 2 of The Mandalorian. But I think it will. It will. Between this and season 7's Siege of Mandalore, because I know we get that. Yeah, spoiler alert, if you didn't know, we get Siege of Mandalore. We get to see that. But I think between that and this, and of course the end of season 1, of The Mandalorian, it's going to be a rather interesting discussion.
Well, yeah, but we can talk about the one that's about the historical impact of this in the aspect of this is the first time we see the Black Saber.
Yeah.
And how big is that, especially after the finale of season 1 of The Mandalorian?
Yeah, I would say pretty huge.
And I mean, even without that Mandalorian time, this is still a huge episode because, you know, the Mandalorian arcs are still to this day considered some of the best parts of Clone Wars and of Star Wars Rebels as well, and major history. And of course, we get introduced for the first time to the Duchess Satine in this, and we find out just how interesting her history is with one Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, yeah. So much so that I'm like, okay, Obi, all of what you're chastising Anakin for sounds foolhardy when we dig into your past, fella.
Yeah, well, you know, at least Obi-Wan is speaking from experience. But this kicks off a 3-part arc through Clone Wars, giving us our first really major Mandalorian story. And David, you can't argue the greatness of these any of the arcs of about Mandalorians and Clone Wars.
No. I also think it's important to note, and of course, we know what the Mandalorian season 1 left us with as far as this clan of 2. But I think it's important to note here that a line from Olmec, Jango Fett was just a common bounty hunter. How he acquired that armor is beyond me. I think that line's very important to keep in mind here with all this Mandalorian stuff swimming about.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But, you know, it's always so interesting to go back and you realize how the Duchess was trying to keep Mandalore neutral.
Oh, yeah.
And peaceful. And yet here we are now. We consider the Mandalorians some of the best warriors in the galaxy.
Yeah, when we got the Mandalorians in the Clone Wars, I'll be honest with you, the show going now kind of made me a fan of Mandalorian. The Clone Wars was one of those moments where I was like, wait, you turned the Mandalorians into pacifist Vulcans? What?
Yeah, I don't call them quite pacifist Vulcans, but yeah, pacifists to an extent. But they were more than capable of defending themselves.
Well, I know, but still, given the... That was like a real severe blow to not just me, but everyone. I'm like, wait, what? What are you doing?
Yeah, no, I can see that, so.
Yeah. All right, but, so let's talk the other episodes in this.
Yep, let's talk about the other episodes in the storyline, and that is going to start off with the Voyage of Temptation. Fear not for the future. Weep not for the past. Duchess of Teen travels from Mandalore to Coruscant on a diplomatic mission with Obi-Wan Kenobi, Anakin Skywalker, and a team of troopers to defend her. As her luxurious starship, Coronet, makes its way through hyperspace, the Jedi must stop several assassination attempts, and Anakin discovers that Obi-Wan and the Duchess have a history together. I love this episode.
Oh, yeah, I love this episode. Can I just point out, you know, and I say this as not a massive fan, but a nice tribute to Senator Orrin Freetah. Why isn't deep fried Nunaleg a food choice at Galaxy's Edge?
Don't give them any ideas now.
Oh, the idea is right there. They should have taken it.
Yeah. But no, there's so many things to love about this episode. Obviously, the great back and forth between Obi-Wan and Satine is always classic.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And you've got...
There's more stories there to explore with, depending on how back you want to go, because Star Wars is always, you know, tetherballing like that, at least as we know right now. But there's more stories to do with young Obi-Wan and Satine.
Yep, absolutely. So, but here we've got not only that dynamic, we've got these great assassination droids, which, yeah, a little creepy too.
Oh, yes, it almost felt a little alien creepy, didn't it?
Yeah, more Predator, I think, than even Alien.
Well, it kind of felt like a fusion of both, because the reason I say Alien is how, like, this episode would utilize the shadows.
Yeah.
And not to mention how when Anakin discovers Matchstick and he's basically being manipulated like a puppet, that to me almost felt like the moment in Alien with the cat. And we all know, you know the scene I'm talking about. That was, oh.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. But, you know, here too, I love those droids. I love the fact that we get the little droids. But I also love the fact you find out it's one of the senators on the ship has been one doing the betraying. And I love how Obi-Wan devises such a great idea for kind of rooting out who the traitor is.
Oh, yeah, the little droid, and he's got that on the serving platter, and it scares Orrin Freetah, so you know it's not him.
Yeah, exactly. But it was still a great plot device, and you know, again, I love even how Anakin is calling out Obi-Wan a little bit for what's going on with you and Satine.
Oh, that was priceless, and that's really why I say that when we found out this Obi-Wan and Satine thing, I'm like, yeah, Obi, you're calling Anakin on his shenanigans, but you got some yourself, pal.
Yeah. Well, that leads us into the final episode of this arc, and that is Season 2, Episode 14, The Duchess of Mandalore. In war, truth is the first casualty. On Coruscant, word reaches Duchess Satine that Death Watch is mobilizing, sparking a preemptive Republic invasion. On the run from Republic authorities, Satine and Obi-Wan set off to discover the group's true motives. We're starting to see that, yeah, the Republic isn't all it's cracked up to be in this episode.
No, it's not.
I mean, you basically have people manipulating it to force the invasion, basically force an invasion of Mandalore, which would have caused all kinds of havoc and allowed Death Watch a nice opportunity to get involved and probably take over Mandalore.
Right.
You also have some great political intrigue with Sabine, with Satine. I'm sorry, I want Sabine, Satine.
Now you're crossing the streams.
Well, at least it's staying in the same universe. But
yeah, okay, fine.
Some great moments with Satine as she's trying to figure out what's going on, and obviously gets, thanks to a Mandalorian sniper, gets pegged for murder. Yeah. We get some more great moments between her and Obi-Wan as she discovers the truth and is, with the help of Obi-Wan, manages to get it in the proper hands so people can find out the truth. And at the end of the episode, to me, one of the greatest moments ever between Obi-Wan and Satine is Satine talking to Obi-Wan and telling him she's not sure about the beard because it covers up too much of his handsome face. Right there, yeah. Anakin's walking up.
I got a nice little chuckle at that.
Yeah, no, I agree on that. Just again, anything Mandalore is just so well done.
Yeah, I think it, for me, it changes the perception of this whole pacifistic nature you wanted to introduce in the Clone Wars, which obviously, and you and I've discussed this on our From Endor to Jakku, a Mandalorian Aftermath spinoff, also on this channel, but we've also talked about how that has actually been making me a fan of Mandalorian, probably more so than this did.
Yeah, no, I will agree with you there on that.
Yeah.
So, well, I think that's the nice thing though about the Mandalorian stories is they have such a new importance now, and I think that's, if nothing else, a lot of people revisit using Disney Plus to revisit the Mandalorian arcs and Clone Wars, which is a wonderful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so, hell, once the Mandalorian season one ended, I'm watching this arc in particular again. I'm like, what?
Yeah, exactly. So before we move on to the next episode we're going to cover, David, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Are you feeling lucky?
Answer, no. All right, so gang, you here, since we've reached the end of this nice little encapsulation of the Mandalore plot, taking us out will be a special song that really capsulized all this Mandalorian stuff in the Clone Wars. It'll be the Mandalore Reign. Yes, and guess what? Yours truly did perform that. With Glenn Nelson back in a Star Wars celebration, you know, back in the wonderful days before Star Wars fans were doing what they're doing now, which I'm not sure what that is, but enough on that subject.
Qui-Gon came and went. I miss the quiet times we spent. Learn the ways of the Force before the Clone Wars. Her beauty made me smile. Oh, it would last for a while. But the skies were growing dark and the storm moved us along. Listen to the Mandalorian, Obi-Wan's sacrifice made. I can sense her heartbreak as I go to hyperspace. Listen to the Mando wind, a Satine whispers low. Can't you see my tears roll for the face I'll never know? Hunting Jango Fett, reunited on the coronet. In duress, we confessed our sadness and our long.
I've loved you.
Jedi passed their time, oh, keeping love off their minds. In that moment, I could have stayed, but the pull was much too strong. Listen to the Mandalorian, Obi-Wan's sacrifice made. I can sense a heartbreak as I go to hyperspace. Listen to the Mando wind, Satine whispers low. Can't you see my tears roll for the face I'll never know? Violence she did abhor, staying neutral in a civil war. The rise of the Death Watch Mandalore now is calling us to meet once again.
war again.
So you're close to her.
I knew her a long time ago. I live by the Jedi Code.
You had feelings for her. Surely that would affect your decision.
Oh, it did.
As Master Yoda says, a Jedi must not form attachments.
Yes, but he usually leaves out the undercurrent of remorse. Had you said the word, I would have left the Jedi Order.
The ghost of Qui-Gon Jinn, and I watch the twin sun spin. As I reach across the stars, I hear, let me know. I would have changed my mind, oh, but there passed too much time. The Jedi Code was a choice that I made long ago. Listen to the Mandalorian, Obi-Wan's sacrifice made. I can sense her heartbreak as I go to hyperspace. Listen to the Mando wind, Satine whispers low. Can't you see my tears roll for the face I'll never know? I'll never know. Listen to the Mandalorian. Whoa.
We're friends, are we not?
Yes, friends and nothing more.
Can't you see my tears roll for the face I never know? Or can't you see my tears roll for the face I'll never know, no, no, no. Listen to the metal of rain.
Kyle and I will be back to discuss the next episode, and, you know, well, like we will be discussing the next arc in the Clone Wars. Yes, it's strange to go chronological order and actually have some order in it. That's bizarre. So, you will know it is time to go to that next episode when you hear Tom Kane go like this.
Calm before the storm. A rare and welcome respite from endless battle awaits Jedi Knights Anakin Skywalker and Mace Windu as they travel through deep space aboard the Jedi Cruiser Endurance. Preparing to rendezvous with a Republic frigate, the Jedi remain unaware of a deadly peril lying hidden in their midst. Revenge. Boba Fett, son of the notorious bounty hunter Jango Fett, infiltrated a Jedi cruiser in an attempt to assassinate General Mace Windu, the man who killed his father. After a near miss at Windu's quarters, Boba was forced to destroy the Jedi cruiser and escape with the help of notorious bounty hunter Aura Singh. Now, having lost contact with Admiral Killian when his doomed starship crashed, the Jedi search for survivors with the aid of a Republic rescue ship. Lethal Trackdown. The young Boba Fett has taken the law into his own hands and made two attempts on the life of Mace Windu, the Jedi Master who killed his father. Boba's mentor, bounty hunter Aura Singh, has taken three Republic officers hostage in an effort to force Windu to face Boba on their terms. A tactic that does not sit well with the young vigilante.
So, Kyle, please proceed.
Okay, so again, we are talking Death Trap. Who my father was matters less than my memory of him. Determined to kill Jedi Master Mace Windu, young Boba Fett poses as a clone cadet and sneaks aboard a Jedi cruiser to plant a bomb in Windu's quarters. But Boba's plan goes awry when the blast fails to kill Mace, and suddenly every clone aboard is looking for the saboteur. Boba destroys the ship's reactor to create a distraction, and soon the entire cruiser begins to break apart. Unaware that Boba is the culprit, Boba's new cadet comrades save his life, but he is too obsessed with revenge to do the same for them.
Okay, I'm just going to start off and say this felt like a legitimate, this nice little sandwichy arc here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Felt like a nice little legitimate sequel to Attack of the Clones.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was fun, and you know there was some great moments in this episode. I loved it when they were all at the kind of going through the ship sessions, and they go to the gunning station, and Boba's just blowing away everything they shoot out.
Oh yeah.
And then just you know the fact that you know let's talk about the fact that we see some familiar faces in Clone Wars for the first time, and that is Ora Singh and Bossk.
Yeah.
And
I will say it's odd, but nice to see Bossk actually get more than a line.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you know, this episode made so much sense just because it makes sense that Boba would have used this kind of plan to get at Mace.
Yeah, it does.
So, I mean, I really like this, and this was a nice setup for a some continuing stories throughout Clone Wars with Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think they play it up very well, just how revenge obsessed he is.
Yeah. I kind of was like, damn, Boba, that's cold for you to plan an assassination on a Republic cruiser with basically a clone field trip.
Yeah, basically, yeah. So, but a very good episode. Like I said, it was great seeing Bossk and Ora Singh. So, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the Death Trap for what it was and enjoyed it. But that's going to lead us into one of our palate cleaning episodes, shall we say, of Clone Wars.
I would call it that, yes.
So we're going to talk about Season 2, Episode 21, R2 Come Home. Adversity is friendship's truest test. Boba Fett and his band of bounty hunters lead Anakin and Mace into a deadly trap on Vancor. It's up to R2-D2 to journey back to Coruscant and warn the Jedi of their brethren's peril. Battling Beast and Bounty Hunter along the way, the trusty droid finally communicates his warning to Ahsoka and Plo Koon, who rush to Vancor to save Mace and Anakin from a fiery death. It's an R2 episode. You gotta love an R2 episode.
I know. Look, this is why I love that R2 arc with him in Season 1. Because, granted, did I like it overall? No. Mainly because Season 1 was a little, I was like coming off my feelings of the movie, and as we talked about, my feelings of the movie weren't exactly, they weren't exactly as warm feeling as you would think. You know, me being the biased Star Wars fan that I am, they just weren't. So, but it's like, how can you get mad though at an R2 episode, whether you're watching Season 1 or Season 2, or, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 or whatever we get in 7, it's R2. It speaks for itself.
Yeah, I mean, we're continuing the Boba story a little bit here, but, you know, again, it boils down to what I have always said. None of them would be where they're at if it wasn't for R2.
No. I mean, I have said for years, and I even said this during the sequel movies, R2 has literally saved everyone's ass.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And R2 knows all the secrets.
Yeah, he does. If R2 could talk, everyone would be screwed.
Yeah, everybody would be in big, big trouble. If R2 could talk.
Yeah. They certainly would have more of a plan if R2 could talk.
Yeah. But we go from that to the next episode, which is also kind of following up this Boba Fett storyline, as we get a little bit more of Ara Singh in this episode as well. So let's talk about the next episode, David, which is Season 2, Episode 22, Lethal Trackdown.
Oh, yes. And we get Plo Koon action, which, given the fact that Filoni is showrunner, are you really surprised?
Yeah, so let's talk about this, because we got insignificant problems left unchecked often become significant problems. Following a nefarious attempt to murder Anakin Skywalker and Mace Windu on Vancor, Boba Fett and Aura Sing go into hiding. Jedi Master Plo Koon and Ahsoka Tano set out to capture the bounty hunters while combing through the lower depths of Coruscant's underworld. Plo and Ahsoka finally learn that Fett and his group are hiding out on Florum. In a dramatic showdown, Fett is abandoned by Aura Sing, leaving young Boba angry and bitter in Republic custody. Okay, first of all, I'm always a fan of Ahsoka and Plo Koon teaming up.
Yes, as am I. I mean, Plo found, and we found this out during the Malevolence arc back in season one, Plo basically brought Ahsoka to the temple, didn't he not?
Yes, yes.
So that relationship's been around for a while.
Yeah, it really has been, and what I like about this episode, too, is more of the development of Boba Fett here as well.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's a reason why this kid probably needs years and years of counseling.
just a little. You know, something about his dad being beheaded would do it.
Yeah, you think? some rage issues and things like that, and yeah, constantly getting betrayed.
Yeah, that would get to you. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So... You know, this was a fun arc all the way around with this another three-part arc. And you know, I always love when we get a little Boba Fett, we get some bounty hunters, and we get some character development here. And like I said, I wish there would have been a few more Plo Koon Ahsoka episodes.
Yeah. I mean, who knows what is going to be in 7, so...
Well, and I think, too, when you look back now and we see what Ahsoka has turned into in Rebels and everything like that, there's a lot of Plo Koon influence in there.
Yeah, no, there is. There is.
So, well, with that, good sir, that is going to wrap up this edition of Looking Back at the Clone Wars.
All right. Well, gang, thank you for joining us for this episode of Back to the Clones, A Few Good Feels. Where we have been speeding through chronologically all of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, or at least a fair portion of it, to get to this point where we will be finishing this up and diving into new episodes of Star Wars, The Clone Wars that start streaming exclusively on Disney Plus on February 21st.
Soon, the galaxy will be remade. The Jedi and the Republic will die.
I sense a plot to destroy the Jedi.
Great care we must take.
Why would anyone walk away from being a Jedi? We were trained to be keepers of the peace. Not soldiers.
We clones have mixed feelings about the war. Without it, we wouldn't exist.
All part of the plan. The plan. Everything is about to change.
I know, you know, it 6 years, I know, I don't care how we got here. Point is, we got here. Kyle, I think you and I can agree on that.
Yeah, I will not argue that point at all.
Yeah, it's like, I don't care how we got here, but we got here. So there you go. So, gang, we will be back. And always remember, join the Republic.
My name's Rex, but you'll call me Captain or Sir. War does not come with a guarantee. No soldier gets the promise of safety.
My designation is Trooper 27-5555, sir.
We call him Fives.
I'm Heavy.
This is Echo.
I'm Commander Cody, your new boss.
Sir, yes, sir!
Looks like we got ourselves a batch of shinies, Commander.
Look around. We're one and the same. Same heart, same blood. Your training is in your blood. And my blood's boiling for a fight.
This is
our war.
This can't be good.
We need to pull back. Get on the portals. If we can draw them out, we can see them. If we can see them, we can hit them.
Thank you for listening to Clone Wars Rewind, a lead up to Back to the Clones, A Few Good Feels. Clone Wars Rewind and its limited series podcast, Back to the Clones, A Few Good Feels, are meant for information purposes only. Star Wars is a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Fans together strong.
So important that you brought us all the way back here.
Hello, Master. It's been a while.